This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deborah Wolf. Sometimes people call me Debbie, but you know what? I don't really like that. That was when I was a little kid. But I gotta say, I am not the most famous Debbie in the world right now. Can you guess who is? That's our riddle question for today. Okay, so we've got some big news out of California that I want to talk about. And I will get to that later in the show, but I'm just going to highlight it so you know what's coming. Stem cell treatments for dogs and cats. Do you have a dog or a cat, or did you ever have a dog or cat that was crippled with arthritis in old age and you couldn't do anything about it? And you watched that golden retriever go from a bouncy, playful dog to a limping, lying down all the time, groaning, wincing kind of creature that you felt bad for. Yeah, well, there might be a solution for that now. So I'm going to tell you all about some breaking studies that are showing unbelievable results, like 75% of the animals in the trials are benefiting. So I'll talk to you about that because it's science and it's new, and maybe they'll even figure out how to do it for humans. Who knows? We'll talk about that later in the show. It's a little bit pricey, I got to say. So, yeah, warning on that. All right. So there's been some things going on in the news. And let's see. There was an incident off Vancouver, where I live, in the Pacific Northwest, just north of Seattle, in the ocean, in town, right across from the park, where an orca was actually hit by a jet skier. Yeah, the jet skier must have seen all the people gathered on the beach watching and must have even headed over to the orcas. I mean, you can't do this accidentally. But you can't tell where an animal's going to surface. And boom, the guy ended up in the hospital. The orca seems okay. But these animals need a lot of distance. It's against the law to go close to them. And there's good reason for that. So stay away from the whales. Now, sometimes you're lucky enough they come to you. Now, I've had this. I was on a fishing trip in what seemed like a big boat until we were out in the ocean rocking back and forth with the waves. And all of a sudden, something just changed. You could just tell. They were underneath us, but we couldn't see them yet. But something just changed. And then they started surfacing all around our boat, orcas, loads of them. And we had a little girl on our boat, and right away I instinctively grabbed her because I didn't want her to bounce out of the boat with excitement. Not at this point. She's a little bit of a dolphin morsel size. No, no, no. But the orcas were all around us. Of course, fishing ended for the day because they eat all of the fish, all of them. So, okay, pull your lines in. We're done. But it was a beautiful display, and they were right near us. But they have to choose to come to you. You should not follow them. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. And there was something in the news that was really peculiar, I guess about 10 days ago. High-powered politicians in the U.S. and worldwide were talking about this, and the phrase kamikaze dolphin kept coming up, kamikaze dolphin, which is a frightening thing for me. I really, really loathe it when people train animals to love them and respond to them and do things for them on a suicidal mission. This reminds me of Laika, the dog who was sent by Russia into space. It really bothers me, this total betrayal of the trust of that individual animal. And there's got to be another way to do this. There's got to be another way. This is not the way. Yeah, this is not the way. Now, I wouldn't mind teaching dolphins to harvest certain medicinal plants from the ocean. I wouldn't even mind as much to have them disarm. Even though the odd individual might get hurt, they're saving so much of their own ecosystem by doing it. I wouldn't mind that. But to cause damage, that's not right. That's not right. So we shouldn't be doing that. Okay, everybody. You're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and we're going to go to a break and come back and talk some more. Who's the most famous Debbie right now in the world? It ain't me. It ain't me, babe. No, it ain't me. It's somebody else, and it's not Debbie Reynolds. Nope, somebody else. Think about that while we're on the break on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. And we got a lot of things going on, a lot of things in the world. A little while ago, there were some riots in the United States. I remember noticing that there were, in Minneapolis, there were no dogs and no horses being used to control the crowds. And I talked about the reasons for that. Well, recently there were protests in London. And there were two simultaneous protests. One that was to do with economics and one that was to do with Palestinians. And it was very important to the authorities that these protests not meet. So they scheduled their routes and their times and everything, tried to make it so there was like a buffer zone. But still, there was a danger. It kept almost happening. And the only thing preventing the two protests from meeting and becoming a possible issue, security issue, maybe a riot, the only thing preventing them were the horses and the dogs. So horse and dog control is so, so important for these events. And I just wanted to give you a little background. They are having so many of these events. They're weekly in London. It's causing so much disruption, and it's causing the police to divert all their resources or much of their resources to security for these protests. And it does bring into question, you know, when is a march too much? How often should they be marching? Should our resources be so devoted to security of protests if the protests are that regular and that intrusive? And here in Vancouver and in Toronto, the biggest city in Canada, we have issues about protests interfering with hospitals. So a hospital's name can sometimes ignite response. So if a hospital's name, for example, after a Jewish place or an Israeli place, sometimes the protests will gather around that particular hospital. And in Toronto in particular, many of the downtown hospitals are located together in about 10 blocks. And so if you protest one hospital, you're actually impeding all of the people visiting and the ambulances and the emergency workers and the doctors and everybody who needs to go in and out of the hospitals. So it's really important, I think, that we allow protests, but that we also create security zones. And I don't think hospitals, schools, places where children are educated should ever be part of that. During the COVID protests, they were targeting hospitals, which I thought was just awful. So we got to make sure our protests, our freedom of speech, doesn't interfere with our safety in this way. So I want to talk about that. And dogs and horses are really part of that safety. So I know there's a lot of people who don't like dogs and a lot of people who do like dogs. And when they did a survey, after allowing dogs as a trial on an airline to fly with the passengers, they collected comments, and there were quite a few comments, but almost none of them were negative. One of the most common comments was a sentiment that was something like this: every dog on a plane must visit every passenger who wants that. That was the most common comment when dogs were allowed on a plane. It wasn't, oh, they're too smelly, they're too dirty, they're too barky, whatever, their hair, nothing like that. It was mostly, I didn't get to pet them. If I'm on a plane with a dog and I want to pet him, I want to pet him. So I thought that was really interesting. The people who bothered to make comments actually wrote that one in. It wasn't in the suggestion box. And they did paraphrase it because everybody wrote it a different way. But it was basically, why can't I meet the dog? And why can't the dog greet people going on and off the flights? And is there a way the dog can make rounds with the flight attendant? Was another way that people put it. It's just so funny. All right. So Guadalupe County in Texas is a little bit ahead of the game here. Yeah, Texas is ahead of the game on a bunch of things to do with loose dogs. When we come back from break, we'll talk about that. And who's the most famous Debbie in the world if it's not me? Well, can you guess? On Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Stewart.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Bourne.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown? Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party with Pet Life Radio, and this county in Texas is way ahead of the game. In fact, a bunch of counties in Texas have made laws and rules that allow for mandatory neuter and spay, so sterilization, of any dog who is found loose and roaming. So in this county, it's the second time. In some of the places, it's the first time. And the idea is just to address pet overpopulation. If you want your dog intact and you can't contain it, then you're part of the problem. So there's some exceptions, police dogs, service dogs, all the dogs that have to work running loose. But those aren't the dogs who are running loose mating. Those dogs are trained and under control. So that's not part of the problem. So they're exempted. And if you can get a letter from your vet saying your dog would die if he was sterilized, then they're exempt too. Well, those dogs, they're pretty sick and old if they would die from being neutered. The neuter operation is really, really minor. It's not as, I mean, the spay is more like a hysterectomy. It's a full-on thing. But the neuter, you'd be surprised how minor it is. So if a dog can't survive a neuter, he's not going out making puppies, chances are. He's probably not able to escape the fence anyway. Why he's roaming, I don't know. Maybe he has dementia and got confused. But basically, these are great rules. So there was a 4-year-old Belgian Malinois. That's a dog that's used by police all over the world. It's known for agility, adept, cunning, and ability to make decisions in a quick instant. Sometimes when you see reels of dogs doing incredibly athletic things like scaling walls or hanging from ropes or figuring out obstacle courses they've never seen before at super speed, that's probably a Malinois. So they're like a lean little shepherd, German shepherd type dog. They sort of look like that with sometimes they have a black face. Anyway, so this 4-year-old Belgian Malinois, that would be the black face kind, was escaping constantly. Constantly. So twice he was caught and now he has to be neutered. And the owner sheepishly admitted that there's really no way to contain him. He figures out everything. So I've seen standard poodles push a chair with their head, stand on the chair, and get an object. I've seen standard poodles and golden doodles work together to climb on each other and open a gate latch that one couldn't reach. I've seen all kinds of things. So a Belgian Malinois that's intact when there's girls in the area that he wants to meet is not going to be containable. So poor Draco. Draco, you're going to get neutered. But lucky for you, it's a minor operation. You'll get over it. And you may still escape. We had a standard poodle when I was really young that used to escape our yard. And my dad kept making the fence higher. It was 5 feet, then it was 6 feet, then it was 7 feet, then it was 9 feet. And then they neutered him. And after they neutered him, he would still jump over the fence. But then he'd just sit outside the front door. He no longer had anywhere to go. So, yeah, that's what's going to happen over there. So good for them. In most places, this is not the case. Okay, so in California, if a dog is running at large, same thing in some places like Sonoma County. And the exemptions there are for herding and hunting. So fair enough. But in most places, the only time they order sterilization is for certain breeds, when there's a breed law, like all pit bulls must be sterilized, something like that. Or when a dog's got 2 strikes, 3 strikes, 1 strike, when he's done something really bad, aggression. So it's interesting that they've made this link because, yeah, aggressive dogs will be less aggressive if neutered. So that's a great idea to do it for that purpose. But that doesn't tackle the animal overpopulation the way it does when you get these friendly, social ever so charming escape artists, because those are the ones, the Romeos of the world, that are making the unwanted puppies. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the big news of the day, and I'm going to explain it a little bit. So they did this research, and basically, if you want to have it for your dog, it's going to be pricey, because the first thing they do, it costs about $500 to $1,000, and they take your dog and they collect his stem cells. So they do that. There's a collection processing fee. And then you pay for a series of treatments, which could be $1,500 to $2,000 on average. And you may only need one. That may be it. Your dog may benefit for the rest of his life from that. Or you may need further treatments. They can't really tell me much. I went and called. I called and called and called, and I tried to get so many details on this. But so far, there's no protocol. So every dog is different. I mean, you got to understand they're receiving dogs at different ages and stages of their lives. And so it's difficult for them to give me a ballpark price. But that is somewhat what you're looking at. Now, if your dog has osteoarthritis, and that's why it needs this drug, if that's true, if it needs stem cell treatment because of that, and you were lucky enough to get vet insurance, and it wasn't a pre-existing condition before you got the vet insurance, then good news, you are probably covered. Maybe for all of it, maybe for part of it. So look into that, because it may be worth it. It may give your dog, I mean, 75% of these dogs had remarkable improvement, less pain. The vets, it's also for cats, by the way. And in the cats, they had the vets assess their pain reduction. And it was 76% of the cats exhibited less signs of pain. So it might be worth it. If you've got a limpy, sore, achy dog or cat, a dog or cat that just doesn't have the same quality of life anymore due to arthritis, talk to your vet about this. This could be something really big for you. And it might even be covered. So that's terrific news. Now, who's the most famous Debbie in the world? Well, Debbie is the name of a little hippo in Berlin. And she has more of a following than me. Of course she does. And it's a rare thing to have a hippo born in captivity. And it's very, very, very exciting. And well, yeah. I guess if I'm ever self-conscious about my weight, I just need to look at an image of the other Debbie and I will feel so trim and slim. So that's the plan. All right. So kudos to the people at the zoo who've managed to do this, because it's really important that these little hippos that their population get resurrected and restored. And it's pretty tricky. They haven't had much luck with it. So it's very, very exciting when we get a successful birth like this. All right. So to sum up the show, let's see. Well, one thing I want to hit on, it's really important this time of year. I keep getting asked by people, what do you do about bears? And they send me pictures. They send me pictures of bears raiding things. Okay. Now, some of these things are things. In one case, the guy actually sent me a picture of the catalog that he ordered from, which describes this garbage can as 100% bear-proof, grizzly-proof, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then he shows me the evidence of it torn to shreds. So I'm not sure there is anything that you could buy at a hardware store that would truly be bear-proof. I know they have these giant metal trash things with a drawer that pulls open, and then you put your trash in and it slams shut. And those are supposed to be bear-proof. But I've also seen a bear turn one of those over, completely over, and just trash it. And the bear was actually, this dumpster thing was probably 10 feet high, 8 feet high. Maybe 8 feet high. I mean, it was way taller than me. I could not have reached, I'm 5'2", and with my arm all the way extended, I could not have touched the top of it. And I was at a lake with my kids when they were little, and I remember seeing this because all the people were running in one direction, and I thought, oh, I wonder what they're running away from. And then I realized they were running toward the bear to get pictures of it. Well, me and my kids did not run toward the bear. We went to our car, and we got out of there. But what they were doing was photographing this bear who was destroying one of these giant dumpsters that a bear should not be able to get into at all. And it wasn't the sliding drawer kind. It was a much larger industrial kind that they dump the sliding drawer kind into, and they get picked up once in a while. And oh my goodness, he was so much taller than that on 2 feet. And then he just rocked it a bit, maybe 5 times in one way, another way, another way. And then boom, the thing went over. It sounded like a Mack truck turning on its side. And one of the drawers, I guess, one of the creaking giant doors made a creaky noise. And he heard that, went over to it. And with these big talons, he just claws designed for cutting through anything, he just pried it open, bent the whole lid of the thing, and then feasted. So I'm not sure there's anything you can buy in a regular store that's going to do that. So you got to pick it up. You got to get rid of it. You got to not have it around. Is there anything worse than a bear in your garbage? Yeah, I would say yes. When I used to rely on devices like that never worked, and I had garbage pickup at my house, which I no longer have, I now take it myself. When that used to be happening, one time I went to the garbage and I found a mama skunk and all her babies living in the trash can. She had decided to move in there overnight and have them. And that was probably the worst trash can invader I've ever had. Now, she didn't spray me. I lucky for me that I just slammed the lid back down and then suited up, goggles, hat. I was doing a mask. I was like ready for anything, and went out there and I tried to be calm and slow and tip it over and get her to leave. And I did. But there are worse things in your trash than a bear. But definitely don't be feeding the wildlife by accident, because they'll be coming back for your cats. They'll be coming back for your garbage. They'll be causing you all kinds of trouble. So, yeah, that's just... And one more thing, because it is spring. One more thing. A lot of people want to do the right thing when they see a baby animal. It's compelling. Usually these animals make a sound similar to our own babies. Usually they have very big eyes compared to the rest of their face, just like our own babies. Usually they're very docile and easy to handle, unlike their parents. And almost always, they're not orphaned. So people pick them up and they take them to bird rescues. And they pick up all kinds of animals, mammals and owls and birds and just everything under the sun that's born and hatched and learning and has an adult nearby watching it, maybe a squirrel, an adult nearby taking care of it or feeding it or coming back for it. And then the person messes it up. The person tries their best and they take this little bird or animal they don't know how to care for, they can't give 24/7 care to, because some of these animals, they need to eat a bug every few minutes. How are you going to do that? So, and that particular kind of bug, and squished up a certain way, and stuffed down its beak or some such thing. So, yeah, you could take it to the rescues, but the rescues are overflowing, and the rescues are begging you. Please, if you see an animal that you think is orphaned, go a distance away from it. Don't touch it. Don't change its scent. Go a distance away from it and watch. Because chances are you're going to see mama come back, and the animal doesn't need you. It needs mama. So please don't interfere with that, everybody. Okay, so next week, same cat time, same dog channel. Ciao, meow, everybody. From me, Deb Wolf, an animal party. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.